Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and I recently won the Moon Man for roasting Tyler. And with me, I have...
I'm Alex, the Moon Man winner for best black metal cover of a terrible pop song.
And...
I'm Mark, and when I'm sponsored by Taco Bell for some reason.
I tell you, I need to talk about it right now, man. Like, whenever I see that commercial, the one of, like, all the guys in, like, a Game of Thrones castle or whatever, and I was just chilling out with Taco Bell, I'm like, that's goals right there, man. That's hashtag goals.
It's pretty much what you dream of every night.
Complete with a Baja Blast fountain.
Yeah, and I get to drink all of it with none of it for Tyler. I heard what you've been saying about me on the training stage. You saying you don't listen to this show? Guess you'll never hear all the things I say about you. Then again, you'll be too busy delaying episodes while I can actually get them out on time!
Oh! Damn.
I do love me a good Tyler roast.
Yeah, complete with lots of seasoning.
Mmm.
So, yeah, episode 49, and before we get into formalities, I have to add an addendum to a couple things from last week. So apparently there were actually two album releases that I missed. Go figure, it was fucking August 25th. One of these was a surprise release. It turns out Mr. We Is Winning, Yeah, We Are Not Losing, Lil Uzi Vert, decided to drop his debut studio album, Love Is Rage 2, for some reason. And there was a new album by this, I think Swedish, death metal band called The Haunted, where I'm blanking on the name of that album, but apparently it was there, and it scared my mind. Then again, in my defense, I haven't thought about that band since high school. And also, I have to issue a correction, which I haven't done in a long-ass time. When we were talking about the revival of TRL, I had mentioned, or at least implied, that either Stereo Gum or Pitchfork were the producers of the Tiny Desk concert series videos. Turns out, it was neither of them, and instead, that production is handled by NPR. So, whoopsie-doodle.
Yeah. Okay. One other addendum to the album stuff. Brand New did a shadow drop of their latest album, and surprise, it's really fucking good.
Oh yeah, I keep hearing about that. I feel like I've heard the name of the band before, yeah. But I couldn't tell you where.
Yeah. We'll talk more about that when we do the album roundup for August, but let's just carry on now.
Yeah, so I guess how have things been going with y'all last week?
Well, I've had 5 days off in a row. Not that I really want 5 days off in a row, but let's just say my department at work doesn't know what the fuck to do with us.
Well, isn't that the story of your life at this point?
Yeah, pretty much. Getting screwed over by people higher on the totem pole than I. For reasons completely unfounded.
Well, I mean, at least you're making money, right? Right?
Not if I'm getting all these days off, I'm not.
Oh.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you're probably getting canned soon.
Oh, shit.
No. This is affecting everyone in my department. We're all getting... It's like only 3 or 4 days of work in a week. One guy even had a couple of days unpaid because of there's some stupid thing with our punching system that on payroll days it completely freezes up, and if you can't clock out, you can't really get paid for the work you did. So one of our guys got screwed over big time.
Damn.
Yeah.
Well, it really sounds like they should get their shit together then. You know, just get it all up in a ball, and then put it in the shit museum.
Yeah. I tell you what, my bosses need to take a little bit of a detox.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, well, okay then.
Yeah, get all the bad toxins out of their system, and just be shiny, happy people.
Don't you ever dare use that phrase on this podcast again. If you ever make that reference again, I swear to God, I'm going to send the toxins after you.
Did I hit a nerve there with the REM reference?
Yes. Duh.
Oh, that.
But anyway, how have things been going with you, Mark?
Let's see. Well, I have a few ups and at least ups and downs. Like I said last week, my car battery died. We'll say here's an up. It got fixed.
Also, another, yeah. The battery.
Yeah, it was. Another down, I got sick. All them now is, you know, it's probably gone away. I mean, I still cough a bit, but it's like, hey, you, at least I don't sound like a sick future or regular future.
Yeah. Yeah. That is true.
I think there's a bug going around everywhere because, true story, last week after we recorded, after I did that painful black metal impersonation of Shawn Mendes, about an hour after we finished recording, I threw up my dinner.
What the huh?
And it was painful.
Okay, that was...
Yeah, so okay, combined...
that's weird.
Combined voice strain with exhaustion, possible dehydration, and just lack of sleep, I was not feeling so hot last week. And I had to go to work, too, so that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I was feeling like some shit in my throat, too. I think you might... y'all might have heard it during that recording session. It was kind of like some awkward, like, you know, snot gurgling, like on my end. I tried to edit out as much of it as I could, but obviously some of it was still there.
We all got sick at the same time. Okay, this is freaky. It kind of scary.
Illnesses are mutating. They're spreading through the internet, and you're next.
You mean I'm gonna get Rick Sanchez on the phone. He's the only one who can fix this.
Hell no, he's gonna fucking murder all of us before he actually fixes us. God damn, what are you talking about, Alex? Shit, we'd be better off calling in Tyler to help us.
Okay, that's going too far.
Yeah, that's true. It'd take him like fucking 5 years to do it.
Let's see how many times we can roast Tyler in this episode.
Gotta make up for lost time. But anyway, that's enough of the formalities. I mean, I wasn't really doing much other than getting more through Fallout 4, which is, it's okay. It's no New Vegas, but at least it runs smoothly, I guess. But yeah, now we gotta move on to the song discussion, because we got about, I believe, 13 here. And some rather big ones here, too. So remember, as always, there'll be a playlist down in the description if you want to listen along and follow with us. And to start this off, let's have Alex kick things off here, so go ahead.
Alright, so one band I've been following for the past couple years is the British progressive rock act called Anathema, which has put out some pretty great albums over the past couple years, such as Distant Satellites, their latest album, The Optimist, and I guess you could say their breakthrough, We're Here Because We're Here. And lately, their frontman, Daniel Kavanagh, has decided to take part in a solo outing, with a new album, Monochrome, coming out October 13th, and to promote it, a single has dropped from that album entitled The Exorcist, and this is my kind of ambient indie-flavored prog rock. It has a very similar style to Anathema's Distant Satellites album. It's very stripped down and driven by, you know, the emotion that the vocals carry. And it retains that sound throughout the whole song with the main piano melody, sort of carrying through the entire song from start to finish alongside Daniel Kavanagh's powerful and bellowing vocals. It's a pretty hauntingly beautiful track. I really want to hear more of this album now.
I tried to get into it, and it's not a bad song, but should be told, literally the only note I took on, like, it's a soft prog rock ballad. That's what it is, basically. It's not bad, but I don't know, I think I'll just stick to re-listening to The Optimist again.
Yeah, like I said, it's more akin to the songs off of Distant Satellites, like Ariel and The Lost Song, if you heard those. This is more of my taste, so I understand, you know, we all have different tastes. It's kind of on you more than anything else. But yeah.
Yeah, maybe I'll get to that once I finally hit up Anathema's discography of my backlog here, but...
Do you know that their early stuff is more doom metal, so keep that in mind.
That sounds appealing to me. But in terms of stuff that isn't appealing to me, so Trivium finally unveiled the details of their upcoming album. As it turns out, it's actually called The Sin in the Sentence. So the first track we got earlier was the title track, and it's coming out October 20th. They've released another new single, The Heart From Your Hate, and again, I could just splice in what I said from the last time we talked about Trivium into this part of the conversation, and it wouldn't make a lick of difference. I mean, it's not bad, the production is fine, the vocals sound good, The guitars are nice and crunchy. It's all competently played, but it just kind of flows in one ear and out the other. Like, this is just the kind of metalcore that I just can't get into. It's so, it's even more samey sounding than the generic horse shit from Warped Tour. Hell, I could tell those bands apart at least.
Yeah. Well, this song is all right. I mean, it's not, there wasn't anything too special that I took from it. It's just an okay song, but I like the first single better compared to this one.
Again, it all just bleeds together for me, man. It's a giant mush of meh, and truth be told, I don't really get why these guys, and guys like Killswitch Engage, for example, you know, bands like these are the more celebrated in the metalcore genre as far as the mainstream. But that's just me being smugly dismissive, I guess.
Be ready for feedback from a lot of angry Trivium fans, mostly 14-year-old girls.
Wait, I thought that was Sleeping with Sirens. Hey! And Tyler!
Ah! Got him again.
But now, moving on to something that's, well, I don't know, maybe teenage girls are into this too. Mr. William Patrick Corgan. Actually, no, screw that. We're calling you Billy. That will always be your name, sir.
Yes.
So he's been teasing for a while that he's releasing a solo album produced by the master of loudness himself, Rick Rubin.
And oh, now good. We have a
release date, funnily enough, coming out the same day as the Daniel Kavanagh solo album, October 13th. It's called, God, I hate this fucking title so much, Oogie La La. Isn't that one of the Teletubbies?
What the fuck?
Does that even mean?
I'm telling you, I'm pretty sure it's one of the Teletubbies.
That's like a real disease.
Oh, yeah, that reminds me. I think I have to go to the doctor tomorrow.
Oh, damn.
But we have the first single, Aeronauts, and weirdly enough, much like that Daniel Kavanagh track, this is mainly like a sort of soft, mainly sort of piano-ish driven ballad. Like, but, I mean, I'll give credit to the Daniel song. At least that one was more dynamic. This one is just kind of the same chord progression, just kind of looped for like 3 minutes on end, or like, 4 minutes? I don't fucking know. I lost track. And I guess the lyrics are supposed to be all deep and meaningful, but truth be told, the whole thing just kind of feels more hollow and boring than anything else. And what's the point of having Rick Rubin producing an album with music like this if he's not even going to over-fucking-amplify all the instrumentation until it's clipping in the mix? Come on, man. What are we paying you for?
I only have one thing to say about this, and I'll read my notes verbatim. Well, this is a boring-ass piano ballad. That's it. That's all I had to say.
That's it. That's the whole song. And should be told, I only included it here because maybe the SEO will bring us that sweet, sweet internet ad money.
What ad money?
All 20 cents of it, duh.
You know YouTube would never monetize this.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's... Actually, wait, no, they wouldn't. Fuck. Well, whatever. Now moving on to music that's significantly more interesting, or at least noteworthy. The band Quicksand, post-hardcore veterans from the 90s, have finally announced the first new album of theirs since 1995, so like 22 years. It's called Interiors. It doesn't have a release date yet, but they actually released a new single, Illuminant. And I gotta say, it sounds pretty good. It's been a while since I've heard those first two Quicksand albums. I gotta go back and listen to them, but you know, it does have this kind of really cool off-kilter drum beat, especially the way the snare kind of accentuates around like the 3 and 4 and like part of the beat. The guitars are very crunchy and low end. There's this great sort of dynamic contrast when they go soft, when they go loud, and of course that bass line is some pretty, you know, it's a pretty steady bass line, but again, it sounds really good when locked in with the drums and everything. Remember, this is the guy who currently plays bass in Deftones, so you know it's some quality.
Yeah, now, I gave this song a listen, and it's all right, but it's just a bit too repetitive for my taste. It just has that same kind of chord progression throughout the entire song. Literally, it's just like 3 or 4 chords over and over and over again, and that kind of got on my nerves a bit. I mean, but it sounds good. The instruments sound great. The guitars are packing a lot of crunch to it. It's just a little too repetitive for me.
Fair enough, although that is kind of a bit of the Quicksand MO. Like, there does tend to be a lot of looping of parts. Again, kind of like that Deftones style. But, again, I'll be looking forward to whenever this album drops. And now let's move on to the Adult Swim portion of the podcast. First, we start off with the past week's Adult Swim single, a track from Donnie Trumpet's, or currently known as Nico Segal's, new project, The Juju Exchange, with a track called Asking. Now, no real clue about this guy other than I know I think he's some kind of a horn player, I believe the trumpet. I mean, that certainly comes through in this track where it's just kind of this loop of like this drum and bass thing that kind of like loops for three measures at a time. You know, the trap drums, this piano thing. And most of the song is just kind of like these brass instrumentation lines that kind of, you know, improv all over the place. You know, the trumpets, the trombones. Heck, I'm even pretty sure there's a bit of baritone in there. And, you know, for a short little, like, I think pretty much like two and a half minute piece, it sounds pretty good, I'll be completely honest.
It sounds damn good. The first few times I hear it, like, this is like some lounge music you would hear when you're, you know, relaxing, just sitting beside a pool and drink some liquor, like just relaxing. Like, this is definitely some lounge music to, you know, just get some good vibes off to. It definitely that smooth shit that delivers.
Smooth like good whiskey, 5 out of 5 would lounge again.
Mm-hmm. Pretty interesting combination with the sort of laid back, smooth jazz feel with more of an electronic style trap beats. It's interesting.
Did someone say trap flavored?
No. We'll get to that when we talk about Taylor Swift.
Spoiler.
Yeah. Oh,
come on. It's in the description.
I guess, but who actually reads the description?
I do.
Oh, I'll be sure to sneak in a joke about you next time. And Tyler.
Hey, another one.
And now let's move on to the Missing Notebook Rhymes Doom track that we got for this past week. So, Mark, go ahead.
Yep, this time Doom has another track, this time produced by my one favorite producer, The Alchemist, with this track called Doomsayer. And I will say this, the production here is like, it does have that more, it is very different from the usual Alchemist production. Like, it isn't as much grime, but much grimy shit, but more as, you know, chaotic shit, sort of like, you know, fits in the, it's something I do see fit in the Doom's usual style. Yeah, although we'll say in the lyrics, Doom, like, this is, like, Doom's lyrics is, well, it's okay. It's, well, the shit I always do get from him. And I don't know what, like, I know he usually get, you know, clips from either old cartoons or shit. Like, I can't figure what one of them was from. It does sound like some old Hanna-Barbera shit, or either any other old, you know, 70s, 80s cartoons. But it does retain that, you know, the supervillain, like, you know, Doomsayer as in, like that shit.
Yeah, I couldn't piece together where the beat was actually taken from either. It's always one of those little hunty games. You gotta delve through, I don't know, Datpiff or whatever fucking website tracks hip-hop samples. But yeah, it does sound good. And of course, there's a pretty cool wordplay in there, especially used to drink gin, now he only drinks oxygen water. Guy knows how to work a rhyme scheme like no one else's business. Smooth like fine whiskey. And now, moving on to non-Adult Swim stuff. Now, we're probably going to talk about this again once we get into the topic for this week, but Mr. Jared Leto, it appears he's gotten the band back together with 30 Seconds to Mars in an attempt to distract us all from the fact that Suicide Squad was a thing that happened.
Never forget.
I still haven't seen it yet. And I'm not going to unless I have a lot of whiskey. But yeah, it appears that he's working on a new album with the band, and they've even dropped a new song titled Walk on Water, which is, you know, I'll admit I always had kind of a soft spot for 30 Seconds to Mars, but this song is just kind of, eh. Like, it doesn't really leave much of an impact. The production just sounds kind of stale, because all the instrumentation it barely sounds like natural instrumentation. It all sounds processed to hell, which makes me worried that this is going to be like when Maroon 5 went pop. Although at least I guess Jared Leto was a better singer than Adam Levine, I guess. And of course, the lyrics are, I mean, they try to be political, but they never really like go for the jugular in any kind of meaningful way. It's just kind of very neutral, which doesn't really work when combined with, you know, production that sounds like some weird mix of like Imagine Dragons and Bastille, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, this song is it's a good idea for a song with the lyrics. It's like maybe three steps away from being fully fleshed out. But what kills it is the production. It is way too synthetic for, you know, 30 Seconds to Mars. There's too much modern indie rock electronics and trap-flavored beats to it.
Yeah, we're getting that everywhere this week, man. Yeah, it's like, you know, I know it's cool to make fun of Jared Leto, but as I said, I did like 30 Seconds to Mars at one point. They had a few songs that I thought were good. And it's not like I want this album to be, like, bad or anything, or I want to hate this song, but, like, it's just so stiff, man. There's not enough oomph to it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, let's move on to something that actually does pack a punch. You know what? Fuck this place.
Yeah, fuck this place. Burn it all down.
Wait, what are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the new song that Gwar put out. You know, first the lead single from the first album they're doing without Odorous Sundress.
Oh, yeah. So was I. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
So, yeah, Gwar has once again got back in the studio, and they got a new album coming out October 20th, The Blood of Gods. Again, first one since the passing of the late, great Dave Brocky. Rest in peace. Or I guess rest in warfare, whichever is more appropriate. And so they've released the first single, Fuck This Place. Now, I'll admit, and this is probably putting my metalhead credibility on the line, that again, in what episode don't I do that? I'm not all that familiar with Gwar. Like, I can't say I've ever heard any of their full albums or anything. I mean, I've mostly just heard a couple of their songs and some guest verses that, you know, Dave Brocky did for fucking Devin Townsend and Strapping Young Lad, so that's the extent of my familiarity. But listening to this song, all I really have to say is it's metal as fuck!
Yes, indeedy do.
And also kind of a bit hardcore punkish in spots. Like, for some, there's the verses here, I kind of get like an older, like, debut album era Bad Religion vibe to a lot of it. But yeah, it's, again, metal, lots of, you know, very loud, obnoxious vocals, proud declarations of the song title, which just sound, you know, awesome, even if it's a little goofy when you think about it for long enough. I wouldn't be surprised if this was actually supposed to be like the spiritual successor to Caught in a Mosh.
Yeah, it could possibly work. But yeah, the name of the song, it is how a lot of us feel right now, but yeah, it's packing up punch. The song is pure metal, and most of all, it's totally Gwar, which is also totally Lando.
I don't know what that means, but I'll take your word for it.
That's a classic Game Room reference.
The fuck is a classic Game Room? What?
Never mind, I'm not going to tell you right now, it'll take too long.
Alright, so moving on to the next song on this list, God fucking damn it, the Black Dahlia Murder, do it again! Holy shit!
Whoa.
So, at now, we got the first single, the title track from their upcoming latest studio album, Nightbringers, out on October 6th, and once again, seriously, how does this band just keep staying so, like, good record after record? Like, this thing, it comes swinging right out of the gate with this kind of fast, thrashing, rapid drum beat and fast guitar work that almost kind of has, like, a bit of a gallop of grooving vibe to it, and it just holds that, like, through, you know, the first half as it just pummels and hits relentlessly. Trevor's vocals just, as always, bringing the brutality from the highs and the lows and all that. And once it gets, like, halfway through, you know, to, like, the bridge solo section, then, again, the drum work ramps up. The double bass runs just become fucking intense. The soloing is, again, shreddy and dark and moody as all hell. And then there's the more incredible part, like, during the last 40 seconds. Like, there's that part where it has that kind of doomy chord progression with the fast drums, but then, like, the guitars just kind of drop out, and you kind of hear, like, this really ominous, low-key, like, moaning vocal delivery in the mix. It's a really cool songwriting trick that really grabs your attention just as the song is about to, you know, exit out, and just, goddamn, this thing, again, this could very well be some death metal album of the year material. I gotta tell you, 2017 has been really good for metal, and this, once again, this could be another one, man. Just, it's a good song. Go listen to it. It's a good song.
Well, you said it all right there. Yeah, pretty solid track. I like the more melodic elements that the song has as well. Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff all around.
And if you never listen to Black Dahlia Murder in your life, then what the hell are you doing? Go listen to it. And then maybe go see them on tour, because maybe you're living in a place where they're touring. I sure as hell know I'm not. Especially given that I announced a pretty killer tour for this friggin' album. And it's nowhere near in Florida. Why do you do this to me? I just want to see Black Dahlia Murder. Is that too much to ask? But let's move on from metal and throw it back over to our boy Mark, who I'm sure has some things to say about this next song here.
So, guys, what do the people say? I'll tell you what they say. Wu-Tang! Wu-Tang Clan! Yes, and they are back. And they announced they're doing actually another album called Wu-Tang The Saga Continues. Dude, it's October. Holy shit. And that's my birthday month. and at least this single, people say, featuring one of the homeboys, Redman. And I gotta say, if you looking for that classic Wu-Tang sound with the martial arts, the sound-based production, the soul-style production, this is it. This is definitely that sound you've been looking for. That's how you've been looking for since you're disappointed by About Tomorrow, even though I know this is an album, since I heard it wasn't that good. But anyway, the players for the song is, of course, Method Man, Raekwon, Redman, Spectre Dick, and Master Killer, and I guess dudes know how to get bars, especially Method Man, where he says, "East line pack of fellas punch, no just the Ray J, nah, see, I don't dab, and I don't nay-nay, got balls out, coming out, warriors, come out and play, ayy."
Oh, shit, motherfucker!
This is like me back 10 years ago when I discovered Wu-Tang for the first time. This is like, wow, this, well, like, discovering their sound. This is definitely that classic shit, that good shit. And here's another album coming out, and hopefully gonna be, well, that I hope is good. I hope some shit like this will be good.
And hopefully they don't pull some really dumb promotional stunt that ends up becoming the butt of several jokes for like the next few years until someone gets arrested over it. By the way, hi Martin Shkreli.
I hope you enjoy being someone's bitch, Martin.
Don't drop the soap, bitch.
That's what you get for disrespecting the Wu-Tang. God, I'm telling you, those fucking juror, like, quotes and documentations, that's, like, the best thing that'll happen all year. The greatest quote in the history of, like, legal history. He disrespected the Wu-Tang Clan.
It's like the ghost face. You don't go out the ghost face, motherfucker.
Okay, up. So which would actually be considered the funnier story? Martin Skrull's court case or the fucking fire festival?
Damn, I don't know. Damn.
That's a good one. Maybe slightly the fire festival, just because that was the gift that kept on giving through multiple episodes.
Yeah, pretty much.
But this is a close second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now moving on to our last few songs this week. First up, Foo Fighters. They've released the second single from their upcoming September 15th release, Concrete and Gold. It's a track called The Sky is a Neighborhood, and the main thing I have to say about this song is, you know, maybe it's because I've been jamming the new Queens of the Stone Age album a lot recently, but this sounds a lot like Queens of the Stone Age. Like, I'm not even kidding, like, you listen to the very, hell, the vocal production alone, there's that kind of, like, raw, where it's just kind of echoing out, like that raw sound to it. You listen to the riffs, and there's kind of this echoey, like, lo-fi production. Hell, even when it picks up volume after, like, 50 seconds, it still sounds like something from, like, the Queens of the Stone Age debut, or, like, Songs for the Deaf or something. It's not a bad sound. I mean, maybe I prefer the previous single Run a bit more, just because it has a little bit more of a energy to it, while this one's a little more mid-tempo and a little balladish, but, yeah, this one... It's a solid track, I'll admit.
Yeah, I didn't like this one as much as I did Run. It didn't feel as strong of a track to me, and I wasn't a big fan of the kind of 12-8 swing vibe that it feels like the song has. It's just, I don't know, it's just something about it didn't click with me.
Yeah, I mean... Hell, personally speaking, I like to think this is Grohl's way of secretly telling Josh Homme, okay, so are we doing a second Them Crooked Vultures album? Come on, dude. Hell, John Paul Jones is probably going to keel over any minute now. We can't wait forever.
Oh, yeah, that was a thing.
By the way, when are we getting a second Them Crooked Vultures album? Come on, Josh, I ain't getting any younger. But moving on to the next song here, Beck. You know, that guy who's weird. And does music sometimes, but mostly just bees weird. We got the release date and title for his upcoming release, Colors. Again, due out October 13th. Well, it's going to be another one of those days, ain't it? And he's finally released a proper single from it after a handful of songs have leaked in places here and there. I think even on a FIFA soundtrack, now that I recall. The song is called Dear Life, and... You know, I'm not really familiar with the oeuvre of Beck outside of, you know, the Mellow Gold album. So I don't really know how this stacks up in the grand scheme of things, but it sounds pretty kind of straightforward. I mean, it opens with this kind of swing piano beat that kind of holds throughout the rest of the song. There's some soothing guitars and synthesizers, you know, throughout the whole thing. It's this very lush kind of, almost like it tries to sound like an inspirational composition. Especially sort of in the lyrics where he's singing about, like, how he wants life to more or less, like, go his way and, like, throw him a bone here. Either that or he's got to overcome the adversities of life or whatever. I mean, yeah, this is... It's not bad, but this is not really my thing, per se. So maybe I'm the wrong person to offer a deep opinion on this song.
Yeah, I'm not the right person for that either, because all I can say about this track is... It's Beck. It's very Beck with all the Beck accoutrements that we've grown accustomed to over the years. And is he going to win Album of the Year when this one drops?
I don't know. Maybe if he has a guest spot from Bender Bending Rodriguez.
Maybe.
Yeah, so now for the last song this week, and...
All right.
I need a minute. I need a minute.
I need a drink.
Let's all just take a moment and just internalize everything. We have to prepare ourselves for what we're going to get ourselves into.
What? I'm rubbing my face.
This
I'm
one is a doozy.
All right. Let's.
Woosa. All
right. Okay. Let's do this. Okay, so. It's been about 3 years since the last big album from country singer turned pop princess, Taylor Swift. She took the world, well, okay, she was already taking the world by storm by that point, but even more by storm with the breakthrough success of 1989. Wait, why did I say breakthrough? Fuck, I'm sorry, I'm tripping over myself trying to build to this point. So yeah, it's been a while. You know, she went on the big tour for that and everything. She even won Album of the Year for 1989, or as I like to call it, it should have gone to Kendrick! God damn it!
Don't worry, Kendrick will win this year, because... Well, he fucking has to!
He better.
Okay, but... So, in the past week or so, there was some rumblings going on in the Taylor Swift camp. Perhaps most notably, her social media feeds went completely blank. Then eventually, at some point in the week, we got the announcement of her next big studio album, Reputation, due out November 10th, with album art that makes it look like she's about to release a three-way split album with Expire, Converge, and Ringworm. Seriously, this is like the kind of shit you would expect to be sold on the label Death Wish. And then in the wee hours of, I believe it was Thursday or Friday, we got the first single from the album, Look What You Made Me Do. And, wow, the as soon as I saw the entire internet just kind of losing its minds, and I mean in a negative fashion, I was like, okay, I had to listen to the song right away. Usually I just kind of like marathon all the songs we talk about each week in like a blog, but I had to hear the song as soon as it dropped. I was just up late last night. And, well, okay, it starts off with this kind of Hitchcockian, overdramatic string piano thing, and then when it gets into the verses, it's this more dark kind of drum and bass-ish thing. So basically the literal polar opposite of most of what was on 1989. And Taylor is eking out these very harsh, bitter lyrics, like she's about to fucking end your life. Including what a line about, like, I don't like your tilted stage, which is presumably a jab at Kanye West.
Of course it again. Is.
Then again, yeah. I guess I can't blame her. Remember, I made that bitch famous.
Ugh.
But then, it gets into the pre-chorus where there's this dramatic build-up. The song kind of swells as she's even more intense in her lyricism. Even saying, like, I got your name on my list in red underline, like she's about to take your ass out. And then it actually gets to the chorus. Look what you made me do. Look what you made me do. Look what you just made me do. Look what you just made me do.
I'm too sexy for my shirt. Too sexy.
It's you get, literally.
You get the shit?
It's literally it's just, there. And all you get, all you get in the instrumentation is just this light little kick drum and snare thing that it's so minimal. It makes fucking RP Boo sound like the London Philharmonic. No melody, no bass line, which is weird considering that the song contains an officially licensed interpolation of, as Mark pointed out, Right Said Fred's I'm Too Sexy. But again, at least that had the quirky bass line to it. This is just, again, the way it swells. It builds, and then just completely deflates into the mother of all anti-choruses. Like, okay, I need you all to remember. I want you to remember where you first were. The first time you ever heard, you know what to do with that big fat butt. Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. It's literally the same effect as that. You have this admittingly decent build-up that could explode into something that's kind of fierce and, like, really aggressive. But then it just deflates. Like, holy shit. Like, okay, people love to say that Taylor Swift is just, you know, manufactured pop fluff, but I would disagree. Because this is the kind of stunningly bad songwriting that no studio or, like, session musician or professional songwriter could even conceive. Like, okay, just to add some more context, the credited songwriter here, besides the Right Said Fred guys, is Jack Antonoff, the frontman of Fun, lowercase f, period. But you know what? I'm convinced that even he didn't put that part in. That was the result of Taylor actually trying to think she could sound badass and threatening. And it certainly doesn't help once she gets to, like, the bridge of the song where there's this weird spoken word thing, like, I'm sorry, the old Taylor can't come to the phone right now. Why? Oh, because she's dead. You know...
Are you done?
I don't have... just fucking... Yeah, this okay. is... This is probably going to be the worst pop song of the year. And that's saying a lot, considering I'm pretty sure the Chainsmokers and Coldplay already collabed, considering that Ed Sheeran fucking song fucking dominated the charts for fucking ever, and even considering that we started off the year with Migos and Lil Uzi Vert. Congratulations! Congratulations, Taylor, you took home the Moon Man for shit.
Yeah. And
Dear God, is the whole album going to be like this? I am terrified. I am really scared, guys.
Okay. Yeah, you go first.
Okay. Okay, now, I will say, the song starts off pretty all right. Like you said, it builds in that first verse and the pre-chorus, but then it just falls off the fucking cliff with that weak sauce droning anti-chorus with, yes, the right said Fred, I'm too sexy sample. And we're not even going to get into the video. We'll say that for later, but this song, I've listened to this song at least 5 different times. I have tried my best to try and internalize this. This is probably one of the most laziest written pieces of music I've ever heard. The structure is so lazy. There is no melody in the chorus. It's just droning. It's so fucking terrible. But two things will come from this. One, this is Taylor Swift entering her artist phase. We're in for some shit. And two, congratulations, Taylor, on your 2019 Grammy Award for Album of the Year, because, you know, she loves that fucking loophole.
Yeah, she certainly does. Actually, now that I think about it, this is technically... Oh, no, wait. Yeah, fuck, this is gonna be... Well, I mean, look at the bright side. At least she can't steal the award from Kung Fu Kenny.
Again.
And, you know, I just want to make another point here. Okay, I don't know how many of y'all listened to Peaches. Like, okay, so listening to her last album, this kind of sounds like some of that chorus. Like, it sounds like the way one of Peaches' songs would start. Like, the song Rub in particular comes to mind. But see, here's the thing. Peaches is Peaches, so homegirl can do whatever the fuck she wants, but you ain't Peaches, girl. You have not done what she has done. So, get out of here with that shit and come back when you finished writing the rest of this goddamn song. Send it back to the miners for seasoning.
Yeah, when this song came out, I tweeted something that says, black people just don't get out to Taylor Swift is, but yet, that's a quote, another tweet that says, care, we don't care. And you know what? This song proves it. I don't give a shit. And her talking about she's going through an artist phase. Yeah, I believe that. You're like Halsey. You think you're both artists, but you're really just really crappy singers that have got no actual depth, no song worth giving a shit. Well, maybe to your fans, but fuck it. But fuck it anyway. The song sucks. The beat sucks. Her lyrics suck. Everything about the song just sucks. And yeah, this is bullshit.
I just like to another observation. Sorry, these are just kind of flowing all in all at once here now. In response to the line, the old Taylor Swift is dead. Bullshit.
She's still alive. She just turned bitchier.
No, like the main thing that we all make fun of Taylor Swift for, that most people acknowledge in her lyrics, is that she is the thinnest skinned person alive. And it's kind of funny that she tries to say the old her is dead, but she's still getting mad about shit from 2000 fucking 9 or 10 or however fucking long ago the I'ma let you finish thing was.
That was like, that was like 8 years ago.
2000 fucking nine. Whatever. My God, we've been dealing with this woman for 10 years.
Like, look, if you really want the old Taylor Swift to die, just let go of the Kanye thing. Oh, and let go of your feud with Katy Perry, for that matter. You two bring out the worst in each other.
Yeah, pretty much. Listen, your stuff on Spotify in time when Katy's new album came out.
Jeez. Never thought I'd see a more heated rivalry / beef than Nicki Minaj, Ma, but here we are.
It's going to be a long couple of months before the album comes out.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
But that's it for the song discussion this week. We've cleared through the shitstorm, and now we're going to go through the light at the end of the tunnel, which is the VMAs. Fuck.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
All right. Well, we're going to take our usual break here, so see you in about 30 or so seconds with our recap of the 2017 MTV Video Music Awards. So, ta-ta, kids.
I'll get the liquor.
It'll be fun.
And we're back. And now for our one big topic of discussion here, our, of course, our recap of this year's edition of the MTV Video Music Awards. AKA, this is still a thing?
Apparently.
Okay, then.
Yeah. I will say, it wasn't the worst VMAs I ever saw. It was actually competently good, unless you're Adam Levine, who thought it was completely terrible because he wasn't there.
No one likes your shit, Levine.
Truth be told, like, there was a lot of blah throughout, but at the very least, as a show, you know, at least it was better than the Grammys. Yeah. Spoiler, this thing only had, like, 4 minutes of overrun.
Yeah, and that I was expecting this to run at least 15 minutes over, but no, only 5 minutes. Take note, Grammys!
It seems like Anna's like, yeah, we out, bye-bye.
Yeah, hell, the three of us, we were actually in a call watching the show together at the same time and then fucking roasting this shit. Although, yeah. Alex had to leave before he could witness the video of the year, but we'll get to that soon.
Yeah.
Well, I still had it on my phone because, you know, MTV has a live TV app, so I was able to watch it away.
Nice. So... cool. At the time we all got in the call was basically, we were still in the middle of the pre-show, and the first thing we saw, you know, before the main festivities, was a performance by Khalid, because he was nominated for Best New Artist, or Breakthrough Artist, I forget what the official title is.
Best New Artist.
Best New Artist, or Artist to Watch.
His performance was okay. Like I said, I'm not familiar with the guy, so I don't really know how it, you know, fucking stacks up in the grand scheme of things, but it's passable.
Mm-hmm.
I did the guy bit.
Yeah. We also had some awards handed out during the hour-long pre-show, one of which I can confirm was announced on the show. The others I can't confirm were announced on the show. Shall I run them down?
Sure, go ahead. At least for the ones that weren't announced on the televisions.
Yeah, okay, I'll do that. So, for something that I don't really know why it exists, Song of the Summer bullshit... The nominees for this prestigious award are Lil Uzi Vert, EXO Tour L Lift 3.
Oh, I bet you did.
Fifth Harmony featuring Gucci Mane, Down. Camila Cabello, a.k.a. the fifth Fifth Harmony member, featuring Quavo, OMG. Demi Lovato, Sorry Not Sorry. Shawn Mendes, ugh, There's Nothing Holding Me Back. Ed Sheeran, Shape of You. DJ Khaled, featuring Rihanna and Bryson Tiller, Wild Thoughts. And Daddy Yankee and Luis Fonsi, featuring Justin Bieber, Despacito Remix. And the Moon Man went to Lil Uzi Vert.
Oh, we're gonna get to you later, Uzi. But continue.
Now we go to what we call the Mad Max Awards, aka the awards nobody cares about, but people should care about.
The technical best categories, right?
Yeah, the technicals. I'm not gonna name the nominees since I got five of these to go through, so I'll just say the winners. Best editing went to Young Thug for Wyclef Jean. By way of Ryan Stock and Eric Digliomini, because, you know, you gotta acknowledge the people who actually put the shit together.
Okay.
Best choreography went to Kanye West's Fade for Teyana Taylor, Guapo, Jay Blaze, and Derek Bentley Watkins. Best cinematography, direction, art direction, and visual effects went to Kendrick Lamar for Humble. For a bunch of people that I will hypocritically not name because there are a lot of them.
Yeah, but let it be known that your contributions did not go unnoticed.
Yes. And also,
you're awesome.
And also, one award that did not go announced in the main show because I guess they forgot. But again, it's MTV, so it's no surprise. Best Rock Video. Here are the nominees: Coldplay, A Head Full of Dreams, Fall Out Boy, Young and Menace, 21 Pilots, Heavy Dirty Soul, Green Day, Bang Bang, Foo Fighters, Run. And the winner was fucking 21 Pilots. Whoopsie fucking do! I don't care anymore! It wasn't even announced on the show at all. They forgot about it. So that's a win in my book.
Yeah, but they still won. So you suffer. And it's funny to me.
Whoop-de-doo! They won a fucking meaningless statue.
It still counts as winning an award. They can still put that in a press kit and, you know, be promoted for stuff and reasons. Continuing the relevance.
I have a college degree. Wait, that's worth more than anything
else. Are they still relevant? Are they even still relevant?
You never know.
Because I ain't heard shit from them in a while, which is good. Because I don't care for 21 Pilots.
They could be prepping another album for all you know. But now let's get on to the main event of the show. And the show started off with its, well, only good foot forward. It opened with our boy Kung Fu Kenny performing DNA with a bunch of ninjas.
I got.
Ninjas on fire as well.
With samurai swords. A ninja with the samurai sword on fire. This is basically my dream birthday party. And that, of course, continued through while also performing Humble. And goddamn, that performance was, you have to pardon the pun, some straight fire. Especially when he was in the second verse and every time he did like the, you know, accentuation with the A. This shit way too crazy, A. A just, bam, slamming to the side and all the fucking instrumentation just like slams along with it. Gets you pumped. It's provocative. It gets the people going.
I've seen this performance, I swear, at least six times in the last 24 hours. Oh my god, it's so good. Just the way they've added the guitars and drums and bass and that. Oh, so good. I want a rock remix of these songs now.
Yeah, this is definitely... No, this is the top highlight of the show.
Especially
so naturally.
And the bat. Yeah.
Especially considering it where goes it fucking down here segues from here. Into, because right after that, we get that fucking Ed Sheeran song. You know the one?
Okay.
But
okay,
then the badness of that performance gets compounded further when this guy walks onto stage. And I'll admit it took me a second to figure out who it was, because he had dreads, but they didn't look like any dreaded rapper I've seen before, because most of the ones I'm used to have red flaming dreads, like The Boat. But it turns out the guy that walks on the stage was Uzi, was a boy Lil Uzi Vert.
Like, okay, MTV, I have to ask, you give us 5 minutes of Kendrick Lamar burning the fucking Forum in L.A. down, and you follow that with Ed Sheeran and Lil Uzi Vert? Are you fucking serious?
Yeah, like you gotta follow with that. That's like, yeah, you just, that's like, okay, that's like showing Mad Max Fury Road and then showing the Emoji Movie.
It's like, okay, I don't know if you remember that talent show episode of SpongeBob. You know, the one where they were all at the Krusty Krab. Every time Squidward comes out on stage, everyone boos. But when SpongeBob goes on, it's like, oh my god! It's like that. And just to add insult to injury, the Ed Sheeran performance, when Uzi walks on stage, it transitions to a performance of EXO Tour Life with Sheeran and his band providing musical accompaniment. Just in case you needed people to stomp on your nuts twice.
Song of the summer, everybody!
God. Song of the summer. Fuck, I would have preferred Despacito, to be perfectly honest. And then we get the intro monologue of... I don't even know what the fuck Katy Perry was doing there.
God. This was not the strongest hosting gig. But by the way, can I just say, Katy Perry, you have a foul mouth. You cursed at least four times in this show when nobody else did. Well, except Nicki Minaj, but we'll get to her later.
It's like
I've heard a curse worse.
It's like she doesn't have the comedic chops necessary to pull off this writing. Because, again, remember, even the lousiest of jokes can be saved by great delivery. I've laughed at dumb jokes because they had excellent timing or delivery to them, but she just can't do these jokes justice. In fact, at one point, the video feed panned over footage of some guy eating a banana. I don't know who the fuck that was. And he just looked like, what the fuck is even going on here? And I'm like, I'm with you, buddy. I have no clue what's going on.
Yeah.
The fuck off with the banana. Bananas are bullshit. Eat grapes. Or, you know, fried chicken. Or double XL chalupas. Literally anything but a fucking banana. And then, after that intro thing, Paris Jackson comes out to present the award for best pop video.
She made a very public outcry against all the, her words, not mine, Nazi white supremacist jerks out there.
That just doesn't have the punch to it that Nazi punks fuck off does.
I know, but you know, it's MTV and you can't swear. Yeah. Katy Perry!
But yeah, best pop video. I don't have the nominees on hand. I just have the winner. I don't know if you want to read them out.
We may as well read them out, give everything a little bit of context.
Yeah.
All right. So nominees. God fucking damn Shawn Mendes with that fucking treat you better bullshit.
Better than he can.
I'm not going to do the black metal version of that because I threw up last time. So let's move on. Ed Sheeran, Shape of You. Harry Styles, Sign of the Times. Fifth Harmony, which should be called Perfect Fourth, featuring Gucci Mane, Down. Katy Perry, featuring Skip Marley, Change of the Rhythm. And Miley Cyrus, Malibu.
The winner was Fifth Harmony and Gucci.
Because reasons.
And I gotta ask a random question, but since when does Gucci own a fancy suit? When the fuck did that happen?
But is that fancy suit a Gucci suit?
Oh shit, is that Gucci, my nigga?
Like, okay, seriously. He cannot have gone on there and worn anything other than Gucci when fucking DJ Khaled's son wore a custom Gucci suit.
Yeah, that was fucking weird. You're really messing up. We'll get to them later.
We'll get to them later.
But then, okay, after that, we had Hailee Steinfeld, I think, come out to introduce the performance of Julia Michaels, which got cut off by the commercial break. I assume the extended performance is lying around somewhere. Oh, and trust me, that commercial break interruption, that's going to come back up later, just you watch.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then,
after that commercial break, we had the world premiere, the Taylor Swift music video premiere. God. Which, if you thought the ominous horror movie sounding stuff from the actual song, oh shit, and I forgot to mention the lyric video for it wholesale lifts imagery straight from the publicity images for Alfred Hitchcock's Vertigo. Honey, you were so not Alfred Hitchcock. You were not even in the same week. Dude, just look up like the poster for Vertigo and try to tell me it's not the same graphic design. But anyway... So, the video, of course, leans in hard on the whole Taylor Swift killed off her old self, and now she's all bad and dangerous. We get to see her bathing in, like, a bathtub full of diamonds. We see a zombie version of herself in a grave marked, "Here lies Taylor Swift's reputation." Get it? It's symbolic. It's symbolism. OMG WTF Barbecue 1.
And then we get to see Taylor Swift lift straight up from Yuri Pletsky's wardrobe with that fucking tiger sweater.
I'm telling you, everything is a Yuri on Ice reference.
That's what I've been telling y'all. Y'all gotta listen to me out there.
But see, remember, the idea that everything is a Yuri on Ice reference is in and of itself a JoJo reference, so still listen to me, bitch. And then, you know, she's driving around cars, she's crashing things, and there's a... I'm going to be completely honest and admit my disgustingness here. A kind of arousing part where she's dressed like a dominatrix. I didn't know that was an image I needed in my life. And then, you know, there's God, there's that weird part, you know, during the bridge where she's standing on top of, like, a giant pile of incarnations of herself from past music videos. You know, the swan dancer from Shake It Off, the fucking nerdy girl from She's Cheer Captain and I'm on the Bleachers. I'm pretty sure other stuff in there as well. And they're all just climbing up to her like they're trying to get at her or something. And admittingly, this does lead to the one kind of entertaining part to come out of this whole song, which is the end of that video, where all of her incarnations are all arguing with each other, and the 2009 VMA Taylor Swift just meekly says what we're all thinking, I would very much like to be excluded from this narrative. You and me both, sister.
Yeah.
In other words, get me away from these bitches. Get...
I still have no idea what to think of this fucking video. Like, I don't understand what the message is trying to tell me. What are you trying to say, Taylor?
Well, she's trying to say that the old her is dead and this new dark one is Taylor Swift. You know, it's like when Michael Jackson released Dangerous. Except I'm pretty sure that album was actually, you know, promising and good.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, so the fucking video, man. And then just to add insult to injury, right afterward was a Shawn Mendes performance.
I think I said bathroom break at that time.
Yeah, at that point, I just reached for the IPA, man. The fucking IPA! And then, you know, it was whatever. Then Katie came back out. She offered her condolences to the shit going on in, you know, Texas around Harvey and Houston with the hurricane and all.
Yeah, with that.
Which,
yeah.
And then this is the point of my notes where I believe Alex mentioned that Humble won all of the technical categories, as it should have. And then there was, right after that, there was more, Katy Perry was getting into some more shtick about, you know, the Fire Festival.
But that was actually funny. She gets that one.
She gets some points for that. Yeah,
she had two good bits in this whole show. So, you know, give credit where it's due.
It's like Spider-Man and Family Guy said, everybody gets one. So, yeah, I mean, that part was kind of funny. But then again, Fire Festival is just such a catastrophe that even Katy Perry can get some good jokes out of it. And then afterwards was one of the odder moments of the night. Jack Antonoff and Alexandra Ambrosio, I'm probably getting those names wrong here, came out on stage to present the next performance, which was Lord. And, okay, so when we were in the chat, I had jokingly suggested, because, okay, her performance was really just interpretive dancing of, like, you know, a couple of the songs from, you know, her most recent album. And we were like, wait, what the hell's going on? She, like,
okay,
she, like, sick or something? She can't sing or whatever? Is this, like, with Ashley Simpson and SNL or whatever that was? But we saw, like, I was looking it up in my Twitter feed earlier, and apparently... Yeah, apparently Lord had caught the flu, so...
Oh.
Damn.
I guess good job on the last-minute improvisation, even if the interpretive dance was kind of limited to, like, the same four or five moves over and over.
I still dealt the effort. I mean, she still did a good job on that, and even if, you know, she got the flu and all, like, it's still commendable shit.
Yep, you are a trooper, and we salute you. Now, convince your management to let you continue reviewing onion rings on Instagram.
Yeah,
come on. Onion rings are delicious. And then afterwards, we got the next award for Best Dance Video, presented by some chick who I never heard of, and a guy who I believe was Pete Wentz.
Yeah, that was Pete Wentz, in a suit and a really bad haircut.
Yeah.
Apparently, the girl was in Kanye West's Fade video.
Tiana Taylor. That's the girl.
Yeah.
I forget that girl.
Okay.
All right. Nominees for Best Dance. Calvin Harris, My Way. Zedd and Alicia Cara, Stay. Kygo and Selena Gomez, It Ain't Me. Major Lazer featuring Justin Bieber and M... Zero.
I think it's pronounced Mew.
Yeah.
Mew.
It's an O with a line across it diagonally. Cold Water. And Afrojack featuring Ty Dolla $ IGN. Gone.
And who won?
What does it?
Zed and Alicia Cara for Stay, but only Alicia Cara was there because Zed said, fuck this, I'm going to stay at home like the weekend.
Yeah, he didn't even show up that night. What the hell?
Yeah, people were wondering about that, but yeah.
Literally, I think the explanation was just like, nah, I don't really feel like it. Wow, that's some hardcore professionalism there.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that award, we got more shtick from Katy Perry, where she was nursing what I'm pretty sure was the same fake baby from American Sniper.
And it threw up.
Yeah, threw up on her. And then out came, of course, DJ Khaled with his son, Assad!
Why were they even here?
Dude, remember, he has to show up at everything.
Clearly. Yeah. His son wore a Gucci suit! What the fuck?
Like, why, though? Who do you find that makes an expensive suit for a friggin' toddler?
I guess some people do for some reason. I mean, I know people make suits for babies, but I didn't think, like, Gucci or Armani or some shit like that. But, fuck if I know. I guess that shit exists.
Like, oh, okay, Caleb, think about it like this. The money that it took to get that suit made, you probably could have invested it in the college fund that your son is never going to use. Because, you know, he's going to be busy dealing with being rich and famous for producing shit and whatever.
Executive producing shit. Let's get it right.
Right.
Yeah.
But then the two of them, you know, DJ Khaled introduced our next performance, Fifth Harmony and Gucci, which started with them kicking a body off the stage.
Yeah.
Symbolism, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it was a jab at what's her name.
That was supposed to be Camila Cabello, who left Fifth Harmony.
Yeah.
There's clearly no bad blood there at all. But yeah, it was just a fucking song or whatever. I don't know. Fifth Harmony, harmonizers for life, whatever. I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
And then afterwards...
Yeah. Oh, wait. You forgot to mention the best part of that performance.
What?
Guap!
Oh.
Don't you remember? Gucci Mane. The water?
Yeah.
Well, the water.
Wait, what about the water?
When it started raining on them?
They got wet.
Oh, shit. Fuck. I didn't even notice that. Goddamn. That's funny.
That was... There was a lot of cleavage on display during this show. I just want to point that out.
I wasn't complaining.
Nope.
And then, okay, so after that, after all that, then out comes Ludacris and some other chick, I don't fucking know, to present
Olivia Munn, right.
To present the award for Best Collaboration.
All right. So, the nominees for this award were Zayn Malik and Taylor Swift's I Don't Want to Live Forever, parentheses, 50 Shades Darker. Charlie Puth, featuring Selena Gomez, We Don't Talk Anymore. Dram, featuring Lil Yachty, Broccoli. The Chainsmokers, featuring Halsey, Closer, Boulder, whatever the fuck it's called. Calvin Harris, featuring Pharrell Williams, Katy Perry, and Big Sean, Feels. And, of course, DJ Khaled, featuring Rihanna and Bryson Tiller, Wild Thoughts. And the Moon Band goes to
Zayn and Taylor Swift.
Who aren't even here.
Sir and Madam, who are not appearing in this film.
Yeah. That happened.
Yeah, Zayn couldn't be bothered to show up because I don't know why. And Taylor couldn't be bothered to show up because Katy Perry's there. So two random geeks decided to show up and accept the award on their behalf.
Yeah, the songwriters of the song.
Oh,
I know. One guy's name. I know one guy's name is Sam Dew. That's the black guy. Which after he heard him before, he was on Clan's Casino record of last year, and I thought, oh wow, you wrote this. Well, I mean, I heard your song on that album. It was decent, but damn.
The music business is a weird place.
Yeah,
and now is where we drop the Stark and get a little bit serious here for a minute. After that presentation, out came Jared Leto, delivering one of the more heartfelt moments of the night. He was delivering a monologue commenting on the passing of both Chester Bennington and Chris Cornell. He was kind of alluding a bit to Cornell when he was talking about Bennington's passing. And, you know, everyone was kind of just listening. It actually sounded really sincere and heartfelt. Like, you could feel it was coming from the heart here. And, okay, granted, there was a weird part where he was telling everyone and even, like, their grandma to stand up, which killed the momentum a bit, but not too much. Mm-hmm. And then, from his speech, he segued into a showing of a clip from the 2010 VMAs when Linkin Park were invited to perform The Catalyst from A Thousand Suns. Which got cut off by the goddamn commercial break.
Yeah, they aired less than 60 seconds of it, which, yeah, that kind of sucked. I actually saw the 2010 VMAs live, you know, back when it first aired, and seeing them perform The Catalyst at the Grimms Observatory in California, that was the highlight of that show, by far. And they barely aired a minute of it. God damn it, MTV, why do you do this?
Why you gotta show, why can you show more than instead of just dumbass commercials of fucking extra gum?
Like, why can't you actually cut off the Shawn Mendes performance for this? What the fuck? But moving on from, you know, that bit, afterwards we get more Katy Perry shtick. This time she's reading mean tweets about herself. I think.
No. She was reading drafts that she didn't send. Which, that's a joke idea that's always worked. Right, Oscars?
Wait, I'm trying to remember. Because was the Oscars the one where the celebrities were reading tweets, roasting themselves? Because I'm going to be honest. That was actually funny. Some of that stuff was actually kind of funny.
This one was not so much.
That was forgettable.
And then after that, we segued right into a Miley Cyrus performance.
Well, let's just be glad that she kept her pants on this time.
Yeah, good thing she didn't twerk. Thank God.
Robin Thicke.
Because she sucked at that.
The only thing we really got out of this was, I don't know, a bunch of grandmas dressed like fucking, I don't know, Dr. Seuss stereotypes of old people or whatever.
It looks like it was ripped out of an episode of Happy Days.
Or Archie Comics or some shit.
A really bad high school presentation of Grease.
Ooh.
Yeah. But then, after that, we got the award for Best Hip Hop Video.
Wait. Can't do this one?
Okay, go ahead.
All right. The nominees are Big Sean, Bounce Back, Chance Rapper, Same Drugs, Kendrick Lamar, Humble, DJ Khaled featuring Justin Bieber, Quavo, Chance Rapper, and Lil Wayne, I'm the One, Drum featuring Lil Yachty, I know, Broccoli, Amigos featuring
Yeah,
Bad and Bougie. And you know who won this? It's motherfucking Kung Fu Kitty, motherfuckers!
Oh yeah!
I would have hit someone if this went to anyone other than Kendrick Lamar. I would have really hurt someone if it went to fucking Bad and Bougie.
I was nervous. I was like, oh shit, please. I'm like, please give me Kendrick.
Let me say this. For that fucking hip-hop category, having goddamn Justin Bieber in one of your songs should be an automatic disqualification. Khaled.
We're not on the award committee, so what the fuck do we know? We're just people that, you know, pay attention to what's going on all fronts of rap. I mean, why couldn't you have nominated someone better than DJ Khaled and Bieber? Like, I don't know, Ugly God. I'm kidding, clearly. But yeah, after fucking Kung Fu Kenny got his goddamn award, we got a Demi Lovato performance. It was a thing.
Okay.
Yes, and this is a performance happens. That... Go ahead.
No, I'm just going to say it happened. And I have to say, the woman who introduced this segment, I forget her name, but I know she's like really big in certain circles. She was introducing the performance. Her dress was getting very close to falling off. Dangerously close.
Oh, yeah. That's Cardi B.
That's the name, Cardi B.
Up-and-coming rapper.
Her dress was getting very close to falling off. It got almost to the areola. That's all I'll say.
You can even see her holding it up at one point because she knew.
Yeah.
And then after the commercial break, we ended up getting I think it was the Video Vanguard segment. Where I think it was Ellen came on stage or something to present mm-hmm. the award, and then Pink gave this very theatrical, heartfelt performance and speech and whatnot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
One of the better moments for the show, I will admit.
Yeah, well, especially speech to a daughter, which is, mm-hmm. That's very, very heartfelt.
And then came one of the dumber moments of the show. We had a performance by Kyle performing I Spy.
Oh, yeah, this thing.
But it only went on for about a minute. So, at least thankfully we didn't have to hear the Lil Yachty verse before it cuts to, quote, commercial. Well, actually, it was a pre-recorded performance by some guy named James Arthur.
Yeah. He won the X Factor in the UK back in 2012. And that's all I know about him. And this performance just wouldn't fucking stop.
Come back, please.
Shit, if it means dealing with Lil Yachty, I'll take that shit. It beats white guy with acoustic guitar.
How much money did Extra Gum pay you, MTV?
Whatever it was, it was too much.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And then, just to add insult to injury, after that, we cut back to the award presentation for Artist of the Year.
Okie dokie.
Oh, yeah.
This is where some bullshit happens. So, let's run down these nominees. Artist of the Year, Bruno Mars. Pumpkin Kenny! Kendrick Lamar. Ed Sheeran, Ariana Grande, The Weeknd, and Lorde. And, oh my god, fucking really, Ed Sheeran?
Oh, yeah.
The award went to that fucking doughy, pasty skin, Shrek-ass-looking cosplayer motherfucker, Game of Thrones-ass fucking piece of shit. God, I feel a strain in my throat.
But hey, at least Eleven from Stranger Things was there to hand the award out.
Oh, is that who that was?
Yeah.
Yes.
Huh.
And she's British.
Yeah. And then we had another couple of performances, more the emotional parts of the show. So out came Alessia Cara performing Scars to Your Beautiful.
Learn the grammar, Alicia, please! That song fucking pisses me off because of the improper grammar there.
Called it. Knew Alice was going to complain about that. And then afterwards, we got a commercial break, and then out came Kesha, delivering a heartfelt speech instead of, actually performing, which I would have liked to see a Kesha performance there. But she introduced a performance of 1-800-273-8255 by Logic, and of course Alicia Cara mm-hmm. and Khalid. Yeah, again, one of the somber moments where he was trying to reach out to everyone, and it was very sad.
This was the other big highlight of the show for me personally. Because, the stigma of mental health, depression, and suicide, it is very real. I'm proof of that.
That is very much true. And at least, there was an environment now that made people would feel a little more comfortable opening up about it. So, again, props to Logic.
Yeah, props to
Logic. And even Alicia Cara. Now you just mm-hmm. need to work on your grammar.
Yes. And Khalid?
Yeah, Khalid
too. You were there. You did good stuff, too.
And then afterwards, we had more Katy Perry shtick, although probably my this favorite was... bit of Katy Perry shtick because there was a little puppy.
Yes, this was the other good bit she had because it was around this time, around 10:25 p.m., that Game of Thrones ended. And she made mention that about 10 million people were tuning in, although it was actually more like 16 million who were watching Game of Thrones.
And she was carrying, like, a little puppy. It was a brown poodle puppy. It was dressed like a dragon. It was so cute. I wanted to boop its little snoot and scritch behind the ears.
Yeah.
Small puppy.
Yeah, she had some good quips in there about everything, that casting everybody up and what happened in the show. And then she was holding up her hand to her ear because she was being told what happened in Game of Thrones. She went, "Jon Snow fucked a dragon." Although, really, Jon Snow fucked his aunt, but, you know, whatever. That's par for the course for Game of Thrones.
Yeah, it's basically every episode. What happened? Jon Snow fucked a dragon. I believe it.
Incest.
Yeah.
Incest, too.
Brutal killings. Ed Sheeran is there for some reason.
Hey, at least Mastodon was there, too.
Yeah.
Man, I gotta catch up on Throne of Games. But then, of course, ruining the cute puppy shtick, out came the Chainsmokers.
Oh, no, these punchable fuckers.
To present the award for Best New Artist.
Mm-hmm. Now, this one was more of a fan vote. Dictated by Twitter hashtags, which I guarantee you is how they're going to do American Idol next year.
Hoobly!
But anyway, the nominees for this award were Kodak Black, SZA, Young M.A., Khalid, Noah Cyrus, and Julia Michaels. It went down to Khalid and Julia Michaels, and the winner of it all was Khalid.
And I am okay with that. I wish it was SZA, but I'm okay with that. At least it wasn't Kodak Black.
True. That's a good life motto. At least it wasn't Kodak Black.
And indeed.
After that bit, we had Lil Yachty. We had the boat. The little boat come out. He introduced the next performance, which was 30 Seconds to Mars. And, okay, I gotta call bullshit on this one. Okay, as we said, the song itself is just kind of middling and whatever. Mm-hmm. But this performance, for some reason, they did it all in thermal vision.
My eyes!
Not to mention at a really uncomfortable angle, right up close to the band, where you could see their thermal energies in unnecessarily graphic detail, including when Jared Leto just goes up mugs straight into the camera, like, my eyes. That's not even a joke. Like, my eyes, like, I could feel a throbbing pain in my left eye trying to watch this. I had to look away from it. It was fucking
I see blue and pink. I don't know.
This was my piss break moment. I had to just get up and just, you know, get away from it all.
Yeah. And of course, in that performance, another person appears up, and it's Mr. Straight Up himself, Travis Scott.
Yeah, I was wondering who that was. For a minute, like, I saw some dreads, and I was like, oh god, please don't tell me this is Yachty. Please don't tell me it's Uzi. But then I saw there was like, wait, this guy has way too few dreads to be either of those guys. I'm like, who the fuck else is a dread rapper? Like, it took me a bit. I honestly didn't... I think Mark had pointed out, I was like, that guy.
Yeah, it pointed out because I think he's the one guy that, you know, got a few dreads in. Of course, you know, a very weird-ass rapper.
So then, afterwards, there was a segue into some important social topics. Yeah. Robert Lee IV coming out to denounce all the shit going down with Charlottesville and the, air quotes, ironic Nazis that are fucking out in the streets and shit.
Yeah. Can I just say something really quick, though? Because I've seen a lot of people, some people complaining about, this is just... You know, speaking in a vacuum is virtue signaling. Nobody who's on that side is watching this right now. Can I just say, you're all missing the fucking point. They're trying to say something meaningful and positive about, you know, shit being bad. And you got all these people going, congrats on missing the point completely, you stupid cunts. Sorry, I just had to get out of my system.
Welcome to life. But yeah, all that happened, and they even brought out the mother of the deceased, Heather Heyer, to give an inspirational speech and announce, like, you know, a memorial fund for, you know, activist work of this ilk.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then right afterwards was Rod Stewart performing with, God, I hate this fucking band name so much.
DNC. Yeah, DNC or whatever. Whatever. It's the group with Joe Jonas with the porn mustache. The nigga looked creepy as fuck.
Yeah.
He was like.
And they performed a song that I had to convince Rob was real. Do You Think I'm Sexy?
Are you sure it's a real song and not just something by Juanísimo Magnífico?
You heard it with your own two ears. You saw it with your own two eyes.
Okay, in all seriousness, the song I've heard somewhere before, but I always thought it was one of those things like that Marvin Gaye track that just gets used to soundtrack sex scenes and bad comedies.
Well, I can tell you that it was used in a Chips Ahoy commercial many years ago.
Okay.
Because cookies don't are ask sexy. How I know that.
Look, I don't know what goes on in the minds of market research people. That's how we get shit like the VMAs.
Yeah. So whatever, that was the thing that happened. Then nice commercial break, and we got the big video of the year. That
all right.
This was the point where Alex had to leave our little call. Yeah. And of course it was presented by Wonder Woman herself, Gal Gadot. And I would like to point out, this was actually, like, right at the tip of the end. Like, I think as soon as they actually announced the winner of the award, there was only about, like, 2 minutes of show left to go as far as the main schedule.
Yeah.
So let's run this shit down. Video of the year. The nominees were Kendrick Lamar, Humble, Bruno Mars, 24 Karat Magic, Alicia Cara, Scars to Your Beauty. Get it right, you stupid idiot. DJ Khaled featuring Rihanna and Bryson Tiller, Wild Thoughts, and The Weeknd, Reminder. And the big one goes to Kung Fu Kenny!
Yeah!
Woo! Man, just think about
Sit down, bitch, be humble.
And just to put this in perspective, unlike the Grammys, at least MTV knows that Kendrick deserves the biggest award.
Yeah.
And he took home not one, not two, but six awards.
He went 6 for 8 tonight.
Damn, like, could you imagine, like, a version of, like, the fucking 2015 or 2016 Academy Awards where Mad Max Fury Road actually won Picture of the Year? That's what this felt like.
Yeah.
And then by that point, the show more or less just farted out with its last minute performance of fucking Swish Swish. God, the song is fucking dumb to say. Fuck.
It was a performance of a song between two recording artists. That's all the positive I can say about it.
Yeah,
there was a lot of balls.
Yep. And somehow I didn't get no Remy Ma beef or them going on stage to fight.
Well, it may have happened backstage. They were both at the show together, albeit in, you know, opposite ends, obviously.
Hoobly. But yeah, so, I mean, at least it didn't run too long.
Yeah.
There wasn't a lot of unnecessary filler, per se.
Yeah.
Man, wait, how is it that the fucking VMAs are paced more efficiently than the goddamn Grammys?
Maybe they'll get it right in 2018, but I'm not gonna cross my fingers for it.
Yeah, I'm not holding my breath here either.
Yeah, I'm not.
The VMAs.
Hot damn.
I've seen worse. It was an okay show.
Yeah, it was just, although I mean, as soon as that finished, I was just like, fuck it, then tuned to Rick and Morty.
Yeah, same here. Yeah. I was like, well, it was over, time to go, bye-bye.
Yeah.
So, that does it for our recap special thing.
Yep.
Damn, we're going on for a while at this point.
Yeah, just wait until we get to the Grammys in February.
Oh, fuck.
And then
it's coming. We're at the start of Music Awards season.
Right.
From now until February.
And now we just have to take care of the new album releases for September 1st, 2017, of which I didn't find much.
After last week?
In fact, there's only really...
After last week, less is good.
Yeah, I guess. I literally have three albums of note here. So, of course, there's the new release from European symphonic metaler Septic Flesh with Codex Omega, a new album from post-punk act Mogwai with Every Country Sun, and, of course, the grand return of LCD Sound System with their newest album, American Dream. So now let's, of course, clean house and get the fuck out of here, because we've been here for a fucking while at this point. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internets?
Same place as always, or on Azure on Twitter and everywhere else. And you can redirect all your hate messages to Tyler at KokiriKid1.
Actually, it's KokiriKid3.
Oh, well, okay then. And also, much like the VMAs, I will be at 10 accounts at the same time. You'll know it when you see it.
Yeah, Mark, what about you?
Of course, on Twitter via Mac2HyperMedia and on my own site, the Mind Hyper One, at thehyperone.wordpress.com. After I release my last story, my last chapter, I'm slowing it down because I'm taking a little writing. Well, at least not to turn out as much shit as I do the last couple of months.
Yeah. As for me, you can find me on Twitter at Rob Barracuda, Instagram as well. Contact me via email, robert@surrealresolution.com, if you have any questions, comments, inquiries, suggestions, or dank-ass memes. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video goes up every Friday on my YouTube channel. Just search Rob Barracuda or Decibel Boost. Be sure to subscribe and hit the bell tab so you're always notified whenever new episodes of the podcast go up. And of course, this is the official music podcast of Surreal Resolution. Follow on Twitter at Surreal Rezo. Like us on Facebook. You know, be sure to find us online, www.surrealresolution.com. And find the podcast on its subdomain, decibelboost.surrealresolution.com. Be sure to listen to all our past episodes, and check out our other great podcasts as well. If you like gaming, under no means listen to The Training Stage, because that podcast is horrible. They can't even be punctual with their releases. At least we can get episodes out on time. And if you like anime, check out Podcast ONA, which is a good podcast. Nowhere near as good as this one, but still pretty good.
Hey, I put a lot of work into my show.
And if you like movies, check out Salty Flicks. Be sure to check out a lot of our great Ring content. I am going to have three album reviews going up this week. I already have Brendan Small's Galacticon 2 done, and I will be, of course, working on Queens of the Stone Age's Villains and Leprous's Melina. So expect those sometime in the week, hopefully by, like, Wednesday or Thursday.
I'll try and get a Stephen Wilson album review out soon, I promise.
Yeah, I was wondering where that was going. It felt like you were waiting a while.
I've been in a funk. I've had a creative block, but I'm trying to get back into it. I'm trying.
Okay, and be sure to jump into our Discord chat if you ever want to, you know, dank and shitpost and whatnot. And, of course, shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Thank you for joining us for episode 49 of the Decibel Boost podcast. Next week, the 1-year anniversary, which is... probably just going to be us bullshitting about random stuff, but at least there'll be stuff there. Oh, and we'll also probably be able to get the album roundup by, you know, next week, so make sure to look forward to that when it gets recorded and when it gets released and all that good shit. So thank you for listening, and until next time, Tyler is a dumb poopy face, and I don't like him.
Roasted!
Goddamn.